This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, this is Robert Reese, and welcome to the CEO Show. This week, you'll learn with over 500,000 listeners the secrets of success from a top CEO. No sound bites, no gotchas. Instead, you'll hear direct insights, stories, and wisdom on personal leadership and on growing your business. Unfiltered and straight from the most successful CEOs. Hope you enjoy. Hi, this is Robert Reese here on the CEO Show, and we are here today with Julie Sweet. How are you, Julie?
I'm great. Thanks for having me today, Robert.
And Julie is the CEO of North America Accenture. So you're running a fairly large business, about 50,000 employees, about $15 billion revenue. I know more than that, but it's a very competitive business, and there are a lot of firms in this area. How do you really differentiate yourself?
Well, Robert, we differentiate ourselves really along two ways. So first of all, our business model. You know, we've aligned ourselves around five businesses. Strategy, which is really about envisioning the future. Consulting, which is about how you transform a company. Technology, which is delivering cutting-edge solutions. Operations, which is operating businesses, parts of business on behalf of our clients so they can focus on their strengths. And then across those, our fifth businesses is digital. That's mobility, analytics, and digital marketing services, and that goes across all of those businesses. And we differentiate ourselves by being a leader in each one, but then also by bringing them together. So let me give you a real example, right? If you're doing a digital strategy, like the way we do it is we not only can do the strategy, but we have deep experience implementing it. So the digital strategy that we do is informed by how you actually implement it, and then we take accountability for implementing it, right?
Accountability?
So lots of the deals, the work we do for clients, we actually charge by outcome, right? Not simply by fee for service. And it really makes a difference.
That's interesting. So let's talk about digital. I know that you focus deeply on that, and right now CEOs are concerned about from cybersecurity to digital disruption to how do they capture market share. What's your take on that?
You're right. We're very focused. That's another big differentiator for us. So it's about 40% of our business, digital, cloud, and security. And what's important there is that digital today is not about just digitizing the enterprise. It's not just about being more efficient in finance. It's about being at the heart of operations and about being at growth. So I'll give you an example. We have a cloud platform that seven of the top pharma companies use, Pfizer, Merck, GSK, that analyze It collects data and allows them to analyze it and accelerate drug development. Now, that's being at the heart of somebody's business. On the growth agenda, we're working with Celebrity Cruises to transform the customer's digital journey. That's about growth. And so this is now a CEO topic. It's not just the CIO. It's not about the back office.
That's really interesting, being at the heart of strategy. You have a unique opportunity that you're dealing with CEOs day in, day out. What are some ideas you've implemented that could resonate? We have hundreds of thousands of listeners, CEOs listening in. What's an idea?
I would say focus on leadership and culture. And we've really seen in the last year.
That's in digital, you're saying?
Yes. And so if you're a CEO, what we've seen in the last year is the discussion isn't about, do I need a new business model? Do I need a digital strategy? It's about, how do I transform my workforce to embrace the new model, to live in a world where there's this great pace of change? And I like to say we're the best example, because when we began the serious pivot of our business to the new, to digital, to cloud, and security, we had to transform our own workforce. Now, how do you ask your workforce to lead digital with your clients if they're using Excel spreadsheets? Right? And so how do you ask them to collaborate and be innovative if they don't have the tools? And so we invested in ourselves. We said we need a workforce that's continuous learners. And so we have digital learning boards, which have snackable content that appeals to millennials on the most important topics. Because how do you ask your workforce to always be learning if you don't provide them with the means to be learning about the important topics? Similarly, we are the largest implementer of Skype for Business, which is video and the ability to collaborate at scale, because in order to bring innovative solutions, you have to be able to collaborate. And so when we talk about transforming business models, you have to focus on your people and on the leaders who are going to have that same mindset.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show. We interview the CEOs who reinvent the fabric of America. We're here today with Julie Sweet, who is the CEO of North America Accenture. So when you're talking about millennials, most CEOs, they're thinking about the major workforce coming in millennials. Are there any things that millennials don't like that you found that you try to avoid doing in your organization?
No, Robert, I would probably flip that question. So at Accenture, we are already in the millennial age. And so our we have 45% millennials in North America and 75% worldwide. And what they want is authentic leadership. And so what I did when I became CEO, I have 50,000 people at Accenture in North America. And I said, I'm going to ban the memo. I'm going to use video and other collaboration tools like telepresence.
Wait, you banned the memo?
I banned the memo.
How do you do that, though?
Right.
Wait.
I said, I am no longer going to communicate through memos. And so when I send an email out, if it's about a date, fine, but otherwise it's a video and it's explaining. If it's a new policy, it's explaining the new policy, and then there can be a link to the policy. If it's talking about our strategy, it's a video talking about our strategy. And by the way, it allows people to get to know me. I can talk about my two daughters, right? I can talk about what I'm doing, because people want to know that they work for real human beings who really care about them and who have lives outside of work. We talk about Accenture being a place where you can be successful professionally and personally. And that focus is key to us getting the best talent.
You're talking a lot about millennials. How about diversity as a concept of your internal culture?
Well, first of all, we absolutely believe that we cannot be as innovative and smart as we need to be without diversity. We see it with our clients. Our clients tell us that. And so we decided this year to become the first and so far the only professional services company to release our diversity statistics in the U.S. And we did so not because we were saying we had great statistics. We're happy with where the progress we've made, but we haven't made enough progress. And so we wanted to be transparent. Transparency creates trust. It first of all creates trust for those diverse talent to say they're serious about it. But it also helps us say to our people, we need to have diversity to be innovative, and we want you to help. And we're going to be honest with where we are so you know why we need the help.
Let's hear an example on the customer experience side of a company that you've worked with and the challenges they faced and what you were able to do.
One of the things that's important about how we approach our clients is we approach them as real partners. It's not transactional. In fact, 97 out of our top 100 clients globally have been with us for 10 years.
Really?
Right. And we're very proud of that. And that shows that we're real partners. And I would tell you, Robert, that one of the most important things we do is we don't tell clients what they want to hear. We tell them what they need to hear. So I was with the CEO just last week. They are a company. They're trying to transform themselves. They're working on a digital journey. They need to cut their costs in order to invest more in their digital strategy. And the CEO, after I met with the various members of the C-suite, and the CEO was telling me about how he needs to move quickly, he said to me, "Okay, so how are we doing as a client?" And I said, "To be honest, your C-suite's not on the same page, and you're moving way too slow."
Wow.
You know, and he thanked me, and they took action, and they're now getting back on a track that has the C-suite all going in the same direction on a much faster pace.
How do you do that? How do you get a company so their C-suite is all aligned?
It's really our role working with the C-suite to understand the agenda, to understand the concerns, and then when we're being brought in to give that kind of advice, right, to really say, here's what we're hearing, and use our experience with working with companies across industry to say, here are the gaps, right? And I think what's important about what we bring to clients is that we're relevant in the boardroom and in the C-suite, but we go from strategy all the way to implementation. You know, I like to talk about it as insight to action. And why does that matter? That matters because it's great to have a strategy, but how does it work in process? Like, how does it actually work when it's implemented? And so we feed into the work, the advisory work we do in the C-suite and with strategy is fed by the continuous learning we get from actually implementing the strategy. And because we are often accountable, we do a lot of our work based on outcomes, where our fees are based on the actual outcomes we're driving for our clients. Accountability and experience and implementation really differentiates what we do with the C-suite.
So everyone who's listening in, what you've heard is that transparency creates trust. And if you want to grow your business, be accountable for the results that your clients get. This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're with Julie Sweet. When we come back, we are going to...
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Warning, if you've recently declared bankruptcy, you're going to want to change the station. Because there's an alternative to bankruptcy, and it could be faster than you'd ever think possible. But if you've already declared bankruptcy and have missed this opportunity, you'll want to change the station now. Here it is. Right now, the company that has resolved more credit card debt than anyone in the U.S. may be able to settle your debt too. You could reduce your debt with one low monthly program payment. If you call right now and qualify, Freedom Debt Relief will show you how low your monthly program payment could be for free. Call now. 1-800-557-3965. That's 1-800-557-3965. If you're struggling with debt, this could be your answer. And the bigger your debt, the more money you could save. To find out for free how much of your hard-earned money Freedom Debt Relief could help you save, call now. 1-800-557-3965. 1-800-557-3965. 1-800-557-3965.
Diabetes is at war with your circulatory system. Fight back with Cardovite. Cardovite is a dietary supplement containing powerful herbs for circulation and healthy cardiac function. Improve your energy, stamina, and mental acuity. Reduce swelling, cold hands, and risk of amputation. Get your blood flowing with Cardovite. This 5-star rated product was developed by a diabetic pharmacist and is available online at www.getbloodflowing.com. That's www.getbloodflowing.com.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're here today with Julie Sweet, who is the CEO of North America Accenture. And Julie, let's talk about your whole leadership philosophy. How would you define what some of the important elements are to you in terms of leading the organization?
Sure, Robert. You know, I think it's such an important question today because we all know we're living in an era of unprecedented change, and we're in the middle of a digital revolution. And so at Accenture, both for ourselves and when we talk to our clients, we look for some key characteristics. So let me talk about those, and then I'll tell you about my own personal philosophy as a leader. So I would say there are three critical characteristics of leaders today. The first is they must be what I would call a curious intellectual. They must be, in a very disciplined fashion, committed to continuous learning, because you have to stay relevant, and you cannot, if you are relying only on what you learned, right, in the past, and your degree and your experience, you are not relevant. And so the questions I look for from my leaders are they saying, tell me more? Are they asking the question, why not? And are they, in a disciplined fashion, really learning? The second thing that I look for as a leadership quality is for real visionaries. For many years, it was okay to be a leader who was a great operator. But we don't know where the destination is anymore, right? There's no one and done digital strategy. We are all constantly having to update because we are in an era of unprecedented change. So I look for leaders who are actually visionaries, but then have the business and the technology savvy to execute. But they cannot simply be those who can execute. The third thing I look for is what I would call the confident captain, right? And so in a world where things are ambiguous, uncertain, and volatile, and speed matters, you have to be able to make a decision, to take all the analytics and the data. They won't be perfect. We cannot have, you know, gone are the day, and we see this with our clients at Accenture, we're not, you know, engaging in year-long strategy projects and then designing it for the next year, right? You have to be able to move with speed. And so we must have leaders who can make a decision without perfect information and set a clear direction and bring people along. So those are the three big things that I look for and that we at Accenture look for in our leaders.
How did you come up with those? I guess this is a career of learning where you've codified this as a leadership philosophy with these three components.
Well, it really goes back to the pivot we made in our business, right? When we said we really need to pivot our business to lead in the new, right? We knew that that meant we had to have different leaders, right? We had to have people, because the new is by definition innovative. You don't have all of the answers, right? And what we're doing. So let me give you an example. We just worked with Harvard Medical School and the Boston Children's Hospital to take design thinking that you find like in the retail world and real science about pediatric growth to create a digital app that helps parents track the progress of the health of their children. Well, that's the kind of thing that just even a year ago people weren't possibly thinking about, right? You have to have leaders who have the vision to say this, you know, this digital revolution is a lot more than digitizing the enterprise, right? And so when we pivoted the business, we said, what's the culture we need and what are the type of leaders we need? And we made those changes.
And how do you know that, what metric do you look at to know that you are successful as a leader?
Well, you know, I think that's a really important question. It's something I've thought a lot about. And so, and this goes to my personal philosophy, right? I measure my success by the success of the people that I lead, right? And that's a tangible way of measuring success. You can, you know, if you look at who am I sponsoring, who am I mentoring, and are they progressing in their career, that's a tangible measurement, right? That's something you can really see. And that's how I measure myself.
Let's talk. You're hearing, everyone, about great leadership philosophies. I do want to mention on the women's side, as you all know, I have a personal goal to have 50 Fortune 500 women, and you were the number 39 most powerful women on the Fortune list, so congratulations for that.
Well, thank you. I mean, I think we'd all like to someday not to have a special list for women, but as long as we do, I'd rather be on the list than off the list, Robert.
So what advice do you have to women in growing their leadership and in leading successfully?
Well, I think the leadership qualities that we've talked about, being a confident captain, being able to make decisions, really having that view of being continuous learning and working on being a visionary and not an operator, are critical. But if you want a very practical thing, I would say be a great communicator, right? At every stage in your career, true, excellent communication skills are critical. So today, right, when I became a leader of 50,000 people, I said, I'm going to ban the memo and use the video, because to be successful, I need to touch the 50,000 people. I need to inspire them. That's what I do as a senior person. But at every level of your career, you really have to hone your communication skills.
What was a personal challenge in business you had to overcome that taught you about leadership and about success?
You know, I remember when I was a young partner, because as you know, I was once a lawyer. I was a partner at Cravath, Swain & Moore, and I was then the general counsel. And I was doing really cutting-edge work. And at the time, I had one particular incident where I didn't feel like I was getting the broad support I wanted, because it was very new work. It was not, you know, true and tested. And, you know, today, as you think about being a great leader, you have to be an entrepreneur. You have to be willing to push into new areas. And everyone's not always going to say from day one, that's where to go. And you've got to be persistent. And I remember very early in my career, I got a little upset when I wasn't getting the right support. And I didn't collaborate the way that you really need to do when you're doing innovative work. And I almost went off the rails. I almost didn't get to the right answer. Now, I pulled back, I figured it out, and I used my collaboration skills, but it taught me something really valuable, that when you want to be an innovator, when you want to be an entrepreneur, you need to understand that not everyone's going to be there with you. And one of the really important personal qualities that I look for in leaders and that I try to work with myself is the quality of empathy. Because you need to understand what it feels like to be on the other end of this, right? And to not always see the vision, and you've got to help people come along the journey to be successful.
What's on your dashboard when you wake up every morning?
It's pretty simple. My mission. At Accenture, the mission is to improve the way the world works and lives for clients, people, and communities. And my entire agenda every day is along those three things.
You have about 30 seconds left. What is the future of Accenture and of Accenture North America?
I believe great companies create their own futures.
And ooh, that's a good one.
I believe that the leaders we have and the culture we have and our focus on those three things of clients, people, and communities are going to make sure that we continue to be a great company.
And quickly, your last three for a great CEO: be curious, right?
Curious, be a confident captain, and be a visionary.
And there you have it. This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show. We have been speaking with Julie Sweet, who is the CEO of North America Accenture. Great having you on the show.
Thanks for having me, Robert.
In these these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if you had no contract, no activation fees, no hidden costs, tracking, tracing, harvesting customer data, or draconian gimmicks? All on America's largest 4G, LTE, GSM, and Sprint networks. Introducing Pix Wireless. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, or unlock GSM phones with Pix, and choose from an arsenal of monthly plans or build your own. Starting at only $2.99 per month. Get connected now. Call or click 1-866-205-9513 or PixWireless.com, spelled PIXWireless.com. Pick Pix and get connected today.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Hi, this is Robert Reese here on the CEO Show, and we are here today with Ray Trobe.
So, Ray, why did you decide to build a career as a board member?
I decided early that I was not a good corporate type. I didn't like large meetings and hierarchical arrangements. I'd gone through a divorce. I wanted to remarry on the right foot. And I decided I could probably make a living, but not a large living, by being an independent consultant. And I'd written an article on tender offers, which the Harvard Business Review decided to publish without really reading it carefully, because they left a lot of mistakes in it. But anyway, they circulated an article I'd written on tender offers, which most chief executives didn't understand. And I got a lot of publicity from that and had some opportunities. People wanted to employ me as an advisor. I said, so why not try it? I felt the independence was important. I didn't want to be part of a large organization, and I didn't need to earn a great deal of money. So this was the beginning.
So you've been on over 25 corporate boards through your career. One that was very high profile was Enron, where you were brought in as non-executive chairman exactly at the post-debacle time. Could you walk through what you found out about the challenges of Enron and then what you did to help move that forward?
Originally, I was selected as a member of an investigating committee, not as a member. They named me a member of the board, but it was primarily so I could qualify as a member of this investigating committee. They wanted an outside independent group to tell the board what was going on that the board may have not known about.
Why did they select you in that?
They took suggestions from their lawyers and their accountants as to who might qualify for this. And they actually, in fact, and I'm not at liberty to reveal the other names because I see them in board minutes, there were a number of people who were well-known lawyers, people who had done investigations, and they considered them all, and I think they decided that I was so far removed from this type of work, and I was clearly independent because I had nothing to do with Enron. I wasn't a shareholder. I'd heard the name, obviously, but I knew a couple people on the board, but not well. I had legal experience. I had investment banking experience. And I was relatively non-corruptible as far as they were concerned. So I passed and became a member of the board and a member of the committee. I was not named chairman until about a month or so later when some of the old members of the board began to resign. They felt there should be new members of the board, clean people, as it were, clean of any accusations. And so we ended up with a 5 or 6-member board, and I was elected interim chairman and then final chairman. But I want to emphasize I was a non-executive director, didn't run any division, didn't have responsibility for any earnings or profits or sales.
Now, I heard you speak, I think this is maybe 8 years ago or so at the University Club, and you had shared that there were on 6 separate occasions they suspended the code of ethics or...
I don't remember precisely, but there are a number of times when one of the leading financial employee suggested to certain types of deals or permitting the company to do some accounting, which may have been probably not then illegal, but maybe questionable. And so they had a provision permitting them to suspend, I guess, primarily with respect to independence, allowing board members or the company to invest in certain projects which maybe didn't pass the original smell test.
And so they would...
I don't remember the number of them.
They would suspend the code of ethics.
I'm not sure it was called a code of ethics then. I mean, I think it was suspend certain regulations regarding investments, outside investments. I mean,
I know what it was. It was about... You said something like they changed the structure of the meeting. So there were no longer notes being taken. That's what it was. On 6 occasions.
Okay, I can't confirm that because I don't remember my memory.
So what can you remember about what happened originally when you got there, what the challenges were, and what the solution was?
When I first got there, people were in a state of shock. Most of the employees that I talked with couldn't believe what was happening. They didn't believe in the allegations that were being thrown around. The stock was plummeting. Their value of their retirement funds were plummeting. And I think the first thing we had to do was to try to sort of stabilize the situation, to tell people we weren't accusing them of any falsehoods or any misappropriations, that we would try to find out the truth as best we could. And we had this was going to be an objective inquiry. That was the important. We wanted to stay at their desk. There were a lot of businesses. They were in the oil business. They were in the refining business. They were in all sorts of financial businesses. They controlled a public utility in the state of in Oregon, in Portland, Oregon. So there's a lot, hell of a lot of work going on. Money could be made. The company could begin earning again. So we said, just sit tight. We'll try to find out what went wrong and where we can gather lessons. And that was it. We were under some pressure. We were under a lot of pressures, but one pressure was all the government investigating committees wanted to get public. They wanted to bring the officers and the directors down to Washington and have public show trials or public hearings. And they set unreasonable dates for completion. So we had to work around the clock, take whatever testimony we could, and find what the truth was if we could. You've got to remember that we, as outsiders, didn't have subpoena power. The Congress has subpoena power. It says, you come down and testify tomorrow, and that's it. And we couldn't do that. We had to make arrangements with all the officers when they would. A lot of them wouldn't talk to us. They were advised by their lawyers. It wasn't in their best interest or anybody else's. So we moved along, and we created a, 125, 150-page report as quickly as we could and with the limited resources we had. And that was the first public indication that a serious group of investigators felt that actual fraud had been committed.
Let's move forward from Enron, and let's talk about board members who are good, who are in a new position as board members. You've been on 25 boards. What are the most significant mistakes that new board members or other board members make?
I think it's important to be aware of the axiom that overly investigating or being too involved in not management, that outsiders don't manage the company. The board members are there whenever the board meetings are called and when the chairman calls them privately to discuss things. But that micromanagement is not a good thing, number one. Number two, the board members should realize that running this company is not the same as running their own companies. There are different pressures, different alignments, and that they should think of themselves as sort of an outside independent advisor, available for help, available to make phone calls on people's behalf, but that they are not running the company. And that's a mistake that I've seen made by big shots who come in and become board members and then think they're running their own company, but they're not.
In determining boards, are there any best practices in terms of size of boards or types of committee? Of course, you need an audit committee and some of the standards, a nominating committee. But talk in terms of size that you've seen that works best, and then committee structure.
If I were creating from scratch, my operating view would be that you don't want too many board members. You're not a bank looking for more deposits. You want a tight board. And I would say, just to be a little more specific, the best numbers of an average size American public company would be, say, 9 to 12 board members. I think you got to keep the board members busy. You want to distribute the work among them. You don't want someone to be chairman of all the committees or be a member of all and have some other people who are not. Sometimes you have people on boards because they're a name and they're helpful to you in dropping that name. But I believe board members should be asked to work.
Okay. This is my final question. You mentioned one thing essential for board members: good judgment. How do you determine that someone has good judgment? What do you look for in background? What do you look for in anything?
I think you have to do a very thorough investigation. This doesn't always happen. A very thorough investigation of the background in business or the professions that the proposed director has, or what troubles has he been in, what troubles has he advised on. Does he understand we're a profit-making institution? Does he understand that he's one of a dozen voices, not a single voice? And can he get along? It's not that he's submerged, but that can he get along and take it when someone else has a good idea that he, you know, he should support it and not ignore it.
Ray, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1 G2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
You're fired.
According to the Small Business Administration, 75% of small businesses plan to eliminate jobs or reduce workers' hours to part-time.
You're fired.
According to Gallup, the unemployment rate recently jumped to nearly 9%, and the underemployment rate hit a staggering 17.9%.
You're fired.
One out of three young adults and one out of two recent college graduates are underemployed. Hello, I'm Keith Abel, a pharmacist and a home business entrepreneur. In 2011, I became one of those statistics myself. Instead of looking for another job in corporate America, I joined Dr. Joe Wallet, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. We're creating steady incomes for ourselves and would like to show you how to do the same. If you want to supplement your current income, replace your income, so you don't have to become one of the statistics, then give me a call toll-free at 866-257-3105, 866-257-3105.
You're fired.
Don't wait till you hear those words. Start creating an extra income today, 866-257-3105.
How confident are you in your food storage? If it was all you had to rely on, would it sustain your family? Hard times, good times, or any time, New Mana Storable Food is the proven superior choice. Learn for yourself what happened when one man ate only New Mana Storable Food for an entire month. Online at PowerPrepper.com. That's PowerPrepper.com. Experience the New Mana difference.
America-made food stores I love to eat. Yum!
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Hi, this is Robert Reese and Albert Reese on the Customer Experience Show. And today we have Chris Boyle, who heads up single family sales for Freddie Mac. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you for having me.
And Freddie Mac, everyone's heard of it, but not everyone knows what it is. But in 1970, it was founded to bring liquidity to the market. And right now, last year, did $385 billion in mortgages. Just describe what Freddie Mac really does.
So a lot of lenders around the country, whether they're banks or mortgage companies, savings and loans, independent mortgage bankers, make mortgages to individuals, to consumers. They then take those mortgages and sell them to us. We package them into what we call mortgage-backed securities, and those securities are then issued on Wall Street, and investors all around the world can invest in our consumer debt, our mortgage finance.
And Chris, you've been with Freddie Mac since 1990. It's a long time.
I have.
Describe what your role really is in single family.
So in the single family business, I manage our customer relationships. So my title is actually the head of sales and relationship management. I like to think about it as the care of our customers. So we have well over 1,400 of these lenders around the country who make mortgages available to consumers and look to us to provide that liquidity to the market to buy those mortgages, to package them up and return dollars or capital back to those mortgage companies so they can lend again and again and again. That's our housing finance system. So again, I care for our customers. I make sure that I understand their business. I consult to their business in a way. What do consumers need in terms of mortgage financing to get into a home? Have we got the right products and programs? Are we providing the right level of service to them to make sure that for those eligible borrowers who want to own a home, that they have the ability to do that through one of these viable entities?
Yeah, fantastic. You are the first business-to-business customer experience lead we've talked to on the show, so thank you for joining us. Who is your customer? You've talked about the end customer, but the consumer, me having a mortgage, I'm not your customer. So who are your customers?
So they are the large banks that you see that when you drive by. They're national banks. They're savings and loans who are in particular entities, or they've got members. If they're credit unions, they have members. There are independent mortgage companies. There are also independent mortgage brokers. So community banks, large financial institutions, and all that goes with that.
You know, interestingly, when we talk to organizations who focus on the end consumer, it's pretty clear why customer experience is important to them. It's probably less obvious as to why customer experience is important to an organization like Freddie Mac. So share with us the value Freddie Mac, as well as the banks, get out of this relationship.
3 years ago, we went on a journey through our new leadership team here at Freddie Mac to understand very clearly that we wanted to compete like a commercial company. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae all make mortgage loans, and we all have a part of this market. As financial services change, as the future evolves, there'll be a lot more competitors, and we wanted to make sure that we were well-positioned to compete. And we think the competitive edge is in the customer experience and having beliefs about customers and serving them differently. And it is a very difficult thing, particularly in a hard quant company. and a quant business, which what financial services is. It's a lot of numbers. It's a lot of math. It's a lot of statistics. It's a lot of modeling. It's very difficult to get those types of thinkers to really understand and to embrace the journey of a customer and what will that mean to the outcome of the business. How do you grow your business? It's easier to say, if I do this to price, my share should grow that much, etc. But if you don't change any of those things, you merely make the experience better. Will a customer give you business because of that? Can you grow your business because of how they feel valued, how you're solving their business problems, and how you consider them in the whole journey of how you do business together? I'm pleased to say that over this 3-year process, we are looking at ourselves as a very commercial company, assuming we have a lot of very, very rigorous competition in this space. And the result of that over the last 3 years has been we've moved our market share, tangibly moved our market share, from 38% to 41%. So as you begin the journey, it is something of a sale, which is my, maybe this fits in the sales and relationship management group, to get people to understand it's the softer side of things. It's much more difficult to quantify. I can tell you when you do everything right, you don't hear about it. When you do something wrong, you always hear about it. Is that not the truth?
Absolutely.
And it's measuring when you do something wrong. If I've given you an experience that 9 out of 10 times it's great, but that one time that it's not, what do you remember? How did I make you feel? I always like to say Maya Angelou has this quote that says, it's not what I said, it's how I made you feel. And that really is customer experience. I cannot solve a problem for you. I can say no. But if I say it to you in a way that is understandable, it is direct, it is actionable, it is respectful, and it is in a business context, it's how I say it to you and how I interact with you. That's part of the experience. And treating customers in that way. So one of the things that customer experience officers in this newly developing field have a hard time really kind of getting their hands around is, do people actually, every time they take an action, do they say, what will that mean to our customers? That's what they must do to be a customer experience company and provide customer excellence. We also own it. If a customer has an issue, somebody at Freddie Mac, one of our team members own it. And we balance the risk and reward. There are certain things that you can do that may help or hurt the customer experience. You have to look at the totality of it, not just from your business lens, because each one of us in business has business partners. We don't go this alone. And at Freddie Mac, that's how we feel about our customers, and that's how we solve them.
So with the market share you have, I think it's safe to assume that your customers compete for customers against one another. So without naming any names of some of your customers, have you seen any your ability to influence any of the banks that you work with? Are some of them adopting some of the principles that you're taking on, and are they seeing improvements in their market share as a result?
I think many of them are. And I think in a highly commoditized business, if you think about it, again, we'll go back to a basic checking account. You can get a checking account anywhere. And so my customers all understand that, right? And they understand that if you've got something that is readily accessible in a lot of different places, how are you going to differentiate yourself? What is it about your business that will make a difference, that will cause that customer of yours to come back to you rather than seeking that service or that product from just anyone?
What is the future of Freddie Mac?
We are going great places. We enjoy every day serving our customers. And at the end of the day, what's important to us is a better housing finance system and making a better Freddie Mac. And we are on that journey.
Chris, great having you on the Customer Experience Show.
Would it be okay if you had 2 paychecks instead of one? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to get an extra paycheck every month, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.